really wasn't. I was dreading it. I was pleasantly surprised. It was actually okay. So we went with Joff, Toby, Linda, and Catherine. And yeah, it was really good. The speaker was taking really difficult parts of the Bible and drawing stuff out from it. And the topic that just kept coming up again and again and again was actually the idea of welcoming the stranger. And so when we got to our Pulse planning meeting, which was in my hotel room on WhatsApp, we were sort of talking, and I was like, what do you guys want to do? All right, just throw it out there. And these guys come back and say, oh, how about charity? You know, how about looking after the poor and looking after the stranger? And I was just like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. That's exactly what we're doing. So, you know, it was absolutely brilliant that God kind of led us to this. And as I said, Toby has already spoken on this, and I think it's no coincidence that we're actually looking at it again, because actually it's something I think is for us as a nation now, and us as a church especially. So we're going to look at it. But as we were kind of looking at this, and as we were thinking about this, asked the young people after a few discussions, asked them in the Pulse planning team, right, give me the topic in one sentence that we're looking at today, because we discussed a lot. And so the responses came back, inviting people to church. Okay, that's okay. Inviting people into our lives. That was good. Talking to strangers. And then suddenly I went, uh-oh. Safeguarding. Because we're taught from a young age, don't talk to strangers. Sort of stranger danger. Don't sort of go there. Well, the problem is that when we do start look at the Bible, God actively encourages us to talk to strangers. So I had to put a disclaimer at the beginning of this. So you guys especially down here, but everyone. There are safe ways to interact with strangers, and there are dangerous ways. Okay, it always involves some risk, but what can I say? Whatever we talk about tonight, talk to strangers safely, all right? So nobody now can go home and say, Chris told me to get in a van with a stranger, okay? Safe, okay? Brilliant. So with that in mind, let's have a look at what God says, because even though it is dangerous, even though it's risky, even though it's scary, do you know what? Don't underestimate how important it is to God that we welcome strangers, that we take care of the poor and the orphan, the stranger. I've got four volunteers somewhere who have already been primed, who are going to come up, and we're going to have a go at welcoming. See how good we are at welcoming a stranger. So these guys are going to get ready. They're going to put on what they need to put on facing this way, facing the back. So everyone look this way. What we're going to do, very simply, is we're going to welcome these people. All right, now they're not going to be who they are. They've got a thing around their neck, and on their little placard is the name of who they are pretending to be. All right, so you need to welcome them as if they are the person on the placard. All right, so obviously you're not going to be able to get up and shake their hands or anything, so you're going to have to welcome by whoops and cheers. And if you're feeling particularly active and you feel it's appropriate, you can even get up and bow if you'd need to, or whatever you would like to do, but you need to welcome them. All right, does that make sense? Yes. We're going to have a run through because nobody said yes apart from Becca. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to run through. Imagine for a moment I've got a thing around my neck and it says Joff Hunt, which is our minister. Okay, so I want you to welcome me as if I'm Joff Hunt. Ready? Go. Oh, he's going to be so disappointed. All right, well, okay, if that's what you think of him, but I hopefully it will get a bit better. So, our first person, not just turn around yet, okay, not just yet. Okay, this person, I would like you to welcome, he's American. He has come a long way. He is in many films, including Paul Blart Mall Cop, including Grown Ups 1 and 2, and, of course, Memoirs of an International Assassin. Could you please welcome Kevin James? Nobody knows who he is. Yes, okay, that's fine. If you don't know who he is, have a chat with these guys. They watch his films exclusively at Friday Night Project. I think if you saw him, you'd recognise him, but Kevin James, okay. Well, let's try again. You didn't know him very well. Okay, so let's try the next one. Again from America, this time from New York or maybe Florida or sometimes Washington, D.C. to these days. Please welcome President Donald Trump. Oh, a bit of a frosty welcome there, Donald. Okay, not too keen. Let's go home. An alternative welcome. Yes, it was an alternative welcome. So let's go a little bit closer to home. I'd rather you were upstanding for this, as you welcome Her Majesty the Queen. She got less than Donald Trump. Oh, but she did get bows and standing. Okay, very, very good. Okay. Well, I'll let you make a decision on the last one, okay? From Bethlehem and then from Nazareth, please welcome Jesus. Very nice. Oh, Linda's standing up. Thank you, Linda. Very good. Now, obviously, I'm bowing. Wow, okay, yeah. Obviously, we had different welcomes for different people, didn't we? Based on what we know about them, or whether we know them at all, Kevin, we had different welcomes for different people. The problem is, and brilliantly, Jesus was obviously welcomed the best. The problem is that when we look at this in terms of the Bible, actually it should look a bit more like this. That actually when we welcome anyone, we're actually welcoming Jesus. Do you guys want to sit down? Give him a round of applause, especially poor old Donald Trump. When we welcome everyone, we should be welcoming them as if we're welcoming Jesus. You guys welcomed him the best, which is brilliant, but it should be each person. And I want to read you a story Jesus told that is about this, exactly that. You guys probably have heard it before, but I'm going to read it from the Word on the Street, which is a different kind of translation. It's a story Jesus told from Matthew 25. It's a bit more kind of flowery language, and so you may not recognize it as much, but it's cool. So the story Jesus was telling his disciples, and he started like this. When I come back and dazzle the planet with a light show and the angel chorus, I'll be on the throne looking out over the total world population. And I'll start separating people out, sheep on my right and goats on my left. I'll say to the sheep, you're in God's good books. Come forward, collect what's been waiting for you since before I made the planets. All this because I feel I owe you. When I was starving, you made me meals. When I was thirsty, you poured me a drink. When I was a loner in the corner, you opened out the circle and brought me in. When my clothes weren't up to the job, you went through your cupboards for me. When my health was bad, you nursed me back to strength. When I was in prison, you swallowed your pride and made the visiting hours. Those who've done the right thing scratch their heads and ask, when? When did we make you meals or pour you a drink or bring you into the circle or give you new clothes or nurse you or visit you? And I'll tell them, truth is, everything you've done for the lowest of the low, my brothers and sisters, it's like you did it for me. But the goats on the left will get the opposite treatment. Get out of my sight. You're in the biggest hole you could imagine, and the hole's on fire. Because I was starving, and you moaned about being overweight. I was thirsty, and you complained about the cheap wine being served. I was a loner, and you laughed at me and told me to get a life. I was freezing cold, and you told me to jump up and down. I was ill, and you told me to snap out of it. I was locked up. You would have told me I deserved it, but you couldn't even be bothered to make the trip to rub my nose in it. Whoa, hang on, say the goats. We wouldn't be like that to you. With someone like you, we'd be thoughtful, sensitive, inclusive, generous, caring. With someone like you, we'd never make you feel forgotten. And then I'll say, the truth is, the lowest of the low is someone like me. So whatever you didn't do for them, you didn't do for me. They'll get taken away to permanent punishment, and those who did the right thing, they'll enjoy limitless life. It's a really scary story. And don't get me wrong, it's a scary story because we're kind of like, which would I be? Would I be a sheep or a goat? But don't get me wrong, it is a story. It's a parable Jesus told. This isn't a prediction of the future. It's a story to illustrate a point. And the points that he's trying to illustrate, first of all, is that there will be a day where our actions are judged. But what it's not making a point of is that the sheep earned their way to limitless life, to eternal life, to heaven. The sheep didn't earn it by doing those things. No, the only way to heaven, the only way to eternal life is through Jesus, is through the sacrifice he made. Because all of us have done things wrong. And what Jesus did was he took all of the punishment for us when he died on the cross and came back to life again. And because of that, we can be forgiven. Because of that, we can live lives where we can talk to God and be in communication and relationship with him. And it's that that gives us eternal life, limitless life. But what it is in this story, what it is illustrating, is that those sheep who have received that love, those sheep who have accepted that love, because that love is for everyone, those sheep who have accepted that love have then started to love others. You know, what's brilliant is the sheep have no idea what they're doing. You know, these people who are named the sheep, they don't know that they're getting limitless life. They don't do it for that. They're doing it because that's what they do. You know, if you ask them, if somebody's thirsty, what do? They'd be like, you give them a drink. Wouldn't everyone do that? Well, obviously not. So how do you get to that place? How do you get to the place where you're so good you don't even recognize it? That you don't even realize you're being good, that you're doing that? I think, honestly, the only way to do it is practice. The only way to welcome strangers, the only way to get really good at looking after the poor and the stranger, the only way to do it without even thinking is to practice it. You know, for example, I think pretty much everyone in here can walk or talk, either way. Both things that when you were born, you didn't know how to do. But now you just do it without even thinking. You can speak, you can walk without even thinking. I think it honestly is the case that we can get to a stage where we do that stuff without even thinking. So how did you get so good at walking and talking? You just practiced. Yeah, you got it wrong sometimes. Yeah, you fell over. Yeah, you said words wrong. But now you just do it naturally. And the same thing can be true with these good things, especially looking after the poor and the stranger. We start by doing the little things. You know, when we look at what Jesus names in these things, making meals, okay, maybe you can't make food, that's fine. You can pour drinks. Do you know the one I think every single one of us can do is open our circle and invite someone in? And you know what, I have to do a lot of prevent training. You guys down here, have you ever heard of the prevent stuff at school? No, okay, so basically, in schools, what they're doing at the moment is this thing called prevent, and the whole point of it is to stop radicalization. Radicalization of Christians, of Muslims, of white, you know, right-wing people. It's all to do with stopping radicalization. And the whole prevent training basically boils down to people need to belong somewhere. That's it. And it's about providing those places of belonging. What if we could be that place? What if we could be that people that welcome the stranger, that give them a sense of worth and belonging? I like I say, I don't think this is a coincidence we're doing this again and again, because as we look across the world at the moment, the truth is that fear of the stranger is what we see. You know, countries building walls and deporting people and banning people, and we can look at America and we can look at Donald Trump and go, oh, well, I'm glad we're not them. But we're not doing much better either, with thousands of people sat in Calais and us refusing to let them come over. They're strangers. They're people loved by God. They're Jesus. And we're saying, no. It's disgusting. It's terrible. And what can we do? This is the frustrating thing. What can we do? Well, the thing is that this can change. You know, at the moment, the whole world seems to be heading in the direction of fear of the stranger. I believe we can turn that around. And it starts with each one of us doing what we can now. It starts with each one of us just opening our circle, inviting one person in. You know, Gandhi, I mean, don't often quote Gandhi, and if you do, it's pretty much always this one. He said, be the change you want to see in the world. If you want to see the world change to be more welcoming to strangers, it starts with us. And it starts with the little things, but we're aiming for big things. So, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? God calls us to welcome the stranger, to take care of those who are hungry, poor, even if we don't know them. And it's so important to him. And as we do it not for something we gain in the future, but we do it because we've been loved and because they're Jesus. What we're going to do is we're going to, in a moment, I'm going to pray. And then after that, I'm going to invite the band. They're going to play a couple more songs. And then after that, we're going to give you a chance to respond to this talk, to welcoming the stranger. And like I say, best way to do, get good at it, is to practice. You're a quacking phone. That's cool. The best way to do it is to get practice. So what we're going to do is we're going to end the service relatively on time, actually. And in the coffee shop, I have tea, coffee, and donuts. Well done, Genevieve. Tea, coffee, and donuts. And your challenge is to open your circle and speak to somebody you've never spoken to before. It's only a little thing, but you're beginning to be the change that we want to see in the world. as we open our lives, as we welcome the stranger. And while these people may have been here for years, you guys may have grown up here, or you may be brand new, there's still people in this room you don't know. Have a go. This is a safe place to just talk to people. Now, I'll let you into a little secret, you guys down here. They're probably more scared of you than you are of them, if I'm perfectly honest. So I'm going to challenge you to start the conversation with them. By all means, take somebody, another young person with you. But I'm going to challenge you to not let them get there first. So hopefully this will work, and hopefully you'll get to have a chance to chat to each other over donuts and tea and coffee and things like that. But yeah, let's begin as we want to go on, as we want the world to change by welcoming each other, by getting to know each other, by welcoming the stranger. Let me just pray, and then as I do, the band want to come up and get ready. Be great. Father, we thank you that we were all once strangers to you, and yet you came down. You came down to this earth and you sought us out. You sought opportunities to meet us, and now we're here because of that. And Lord, we see throughout the Bible your heart for the stranger, for the poor and the broken, the orphan and the widow. And Lord, we beg your forgiveness for when as a nation we have turned the stranger away rather than welcoming them. We beg your forgiveness as a world who is turning more and more to fear of the foreigner, fear of the stranger, rather than to welcome and love and compassion. We pray, Lord, that you would change our hearts in our community to be welcoming. In our schools, in our colleges, in our universities, in our work, we would be the people that open the circle and invite in. And that, Lord, that would not just be a small thing, but that would change this nation. That this would change this nation into a nation that welcomes, that is known for its hospitality, that is known as a place where people can go to find love. Lord Jesus, in that we pray. Amen.